Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the Halal Sports Report. NFL Week 3. Philadelphia Eagles traveling to the New York Jets, the Meadowlands, this weekend to play the New York Jets. The Eagles are 0-2. The Jets are 2-0, and this is desperation time for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll be previewing that game, giving you my keys to victory for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'll also be going over all the NFL Week 3 matchups, inshallah, and you know, giving you my, you know, winners and losers in those games. And then we'll go to college football before I end the show. And the big games this weekend, the ones that are the more competitive games, the most important games, I'll give you my winners as well, inshallah. So all my fellow Muslims out there, you know, Juma Mubarak. And, you know, yesterday was the Eid al-Adha. And, you know, I spent time, the Eid prayer with the brothers and the sisters at the Germantown Masjid. We was at Fernhill Park yesterday, and the prayer was beautiful. The khutbah was magnificent, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And, you know, I got an opportunity to meet a lot of brothers and spend time with some brothers that I knew as well. So, you know, I just thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was able to fellowship with some brothers yesterday and, you know, just hear the word, you know, the Quran, the Sunnah, you know, the beautiful word of Islam as well. And also to the Catholics here in Philadelphia, you know, the people that follow the Catholic, you know, religion and that doctrine, you know, the Pope will be here tomorrow, inshallah. And you know, it's been a lot going on in Philadelphia pertaining to this. And in Islam, we're taught not to, even though we may not agree with other religions, we're taught not to disrespect those religions because we wouldn't want those religions attacking us. And every day in America, Islam is attacked, Muslims are attacked, we're stereotyped and all that kind of stuff. But in Islam, we're taught to have patience and walk away. You know what I mean? So us as Muslims, we're also to respect other religions, regardless if we believe it or not. You know, for us to go around making jokes about the Pope is haram. It's not sunnah. It's not something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or would have done. So it's something that we should not do, because we're supposed to follow the path of the Sunnah. So for us as Muslims, we have to show respect. I'm not saying that we go down there and listen to the Pope speak, because that's not what we're to do. But alhamdulillah, anyway, we know that not only us as Muslims, but everybody overall has been inconvenienced by this whole thing. But Allah knows best. Allah's will is what it is. And we just have to accept that, say alhamdulillah, and continue to move on. Even with everything that's going on all over the city of Philadelphia, we were able to have the Eid yesterday. Even with everything going all over the city, I've seen posts on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, pictures of the brothers and sisters out there for the Eid prayer. And even today, Friday, Juma, all the brothers and sisters, we still were able to attend Juma and fellowship with the brothers and sisters and hear the good word, that, you know, the Quran, the Sunnah. So let's stop being disrespectful. Let's stop making jokes about other religions that's not ours, because if it was if the shoe was on the other foot, a lot of us would be very upset about it. So I pray that everybody that sees this video receives this video in good health. You know, I pray for one of my friends. Her name is Keisha Moore. Her and her significant other, Tyreek Bailey, and their children. They lost their house a few days ago. And Allah, I pray that you give them guidance, you give them understanding, and you let them know you test the ones that you love. You know, for a lot of us, we've been through tough times, and that drew us closer to Allah. So Allah, I ask that you guide them. I ask that you protect them. I ask that you provide for them. And, you know, you protect them and, you know, give them an understanding that even though they're going through a tough time, they're alive. And this is an opportunity for them to draw closer to you. Amen. To the Philadelphia Eagles, they head into the Meadowlands this weekend. And the New York Jets have been a very good team through two games. They've defensively forced 10 turnovers. They haven't turned the ball over much themselves. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I'm not a big fan of, has played decently. They can run the ball decently. Fitzpatrick has played well. Decker and Brandon Marshall have been a good duo. So this is going to be a tough test for the Philadelphia Eagles heading into this game on Sunday. Now, I got the injury report in front of me. Kiko Alonso, Hart, Michael Kendricks, Cedric Thornton, all are out. That's two inside linebackers, and that's two of the Eagles' five technique defensive ends. So Brandon Bear is going to have to step up and play. The Eagles re-signed Najee Good. Jordan Hicks, and D'Amico Ryans are going to be the Eagles' inside linebackers for this week. They have Brad Jones as well. That's going to be a huge influence. Cedric Thornton, while not a good pass rusher, is one of the best run stuffing five technique defensive ends in football. Michael Kendricks is one of the Eagles' best players, period, versus a run and pass. Alonso, losing him, another guy. Both of those guys were guys that didn't have to come off the field. And then Hart, second year in the league, added some weight and strength to his frame, was, you know, coming into his own, you know, being a nice rotational player. Not having those guys on the field, and we know since Chip Kelly has been here, the Eagles' defense has played the most plays in the league. Not having four guys that are in your rotation, you know what I mean, one, two, three starters, and another guy that's part of your rotation is huge. DeMarco Murray, today was a walkthrough. He practiced today. He left early yesterday with a hamstring injury. I've heard some Philadelphia fans in their typical Eagles fashion say that he's faking his injury. I will not go that far. But for the Eagles' sake, it'll be nice if DeMarco Murray could play. The Jets, Eric Decker, PCL injury, probably won't play. Ivory, the running back, their starting running back, game time decision. Darrell Revis, game time decisions. Those two guys, three guys, are key players for them. Trevor Riley is out. Walls, the cornerback, is out. Lorenzo Malden, alhamdulillah, he was carted off the field in week one with a neck injury. Missed last week's game. He'll play on Sunday, inshallah. When I look at the Philadelphia Eagles this week versus the Jets, offensively, there are some things that I've listed that the Philadelphia Eagles must do if they plan on winning the game this week. And first of all, they must win the point of attack at the offensive line in the run game and pass game. Specifically, in my opinion, starting with the run. They have to not miss blocks. They have to get nasty. They have to get downhill. They have to make blocks. When you have a zone blocking scheme, as Brian Baldinger and many NFL analysts or football analysts have said, including myself, the reason why you have a zone blocking scheme is you can adjust and make blocks on the move. Zone blocking scheme is you block the man that comes in your area. The Eagles have to, point blank, there's no getting around it. They have to play better. If teams are going to stunt and jump in gaps, the Eagles got to do a better job of making the blocks. Today, I was watching NFL Live, and I hadn't really paid attention to it until today. Mark Schlereth brought it up. The Eagles go with the same snap count every time. I played football starting at 5 years old, and we used to switch the snap count up. 21 dive, 1-2. Ready, break. Down, set. Blue 18, blue 18. Hut, hut. Aaron Rodgers, we've seen him with the snap count, change the snap count up, draw guys off sides, make a big play down the field. The Eagles don't do a lot of subtle things that help you out. The Eagles' offensive line has to play better. The Eagles have to be more productive on first downs. They must be better, more productive on first downs. Majority of the time this year, they've left themselves in second and seven, second and eight. They've lost yards running the ball on first down. They have to be more productive. If we're gonna run the ball on first down, if I'm a coach, I need to be able to get 3, 4, 5 yards. Plus, at least 3, 4 yards. Second and six is better than second and eight. Second and four is better than second and nine because it puts you in an obvious passing situation in which defenses can just tee off. The Eagles, to this point, have had no big plays down the field in the passing game. It's time to take some deep shots with Nelson Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar can win inside, he can win short and intermediate, but he also has enough speed to get deep. The Eagles need to set up some plays to take a shot deep. They need to stretch the field, but it will also help if they were able to run the ball as well and use some play action to help him get deep. Better run pass balance. The Eagles must be able to run the ball better. They must be committed to running the ball, which will loosen the defense up. Right now, teams don't fear the Eagles beating them deep. The Eagles pass offense, while they've had yards, they haven't been particularly successful. You can't always look at the numbers. That's why you got to watch the film on a weekly basis and break it down to see what's going on. The Eagles wide receivers dropped 8 passes last week. That's unacceptable. Can't happen. And Sam Bradford has to play better. Part of being an NFL quarterback, and one of the most essential part, is being able to play when the pocket is dirty and when you're under duress. You must be able to be an effective football player, an effective quarterback in the pocket when it's dirty. When teams blitz you, you must be able to make them pay. Teams going to want to bring extra guys. Okay, we're going to make you pay. I'm going to stand in here. I'm going to take this hit, and I'm going to deliver the ball with anticipation and accuracy to my wide receivers and let them go make plays with the ball. Sam Bradford has to get better. And then the last point, coaching. A plan without a backup plan is a bad plan. If that plan can't change on the go, it's a horrible plan. A horrible plan. Chip Kelly, can you adjust? Are you willing to put your ego to the side and say, this isn't working? Teams have figured it out. It's time to go to something else. If Josh Huff is saying that the Cowboys players are calling out the plays, I believe him because I'm on the couch watching the game. And for 3 years, this is their third year. Last year, I knew what plays they were going to run. They run four running plays: inside zone, outside zone, sweep, and a draw. It's simple. I also know, being a former football player, that teams can know what you're running, but if you execute it, they can't stop it. But Chip Kelly, are you willing to change in order to help your players out? Are you willing to go to a heavy package? Are you willing to use a fullback? Or is there a blocking tight end on the roster? Oh, Brent Celek and Zach Ertz haven't blocked well this year, which is part of the problem. I watched the tape this week. Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, you don't get off the hook because, along with the offensive line, you two have stunk in the run game as blockers, which is unacceptable, especially for Brent Celek. Zach Ertz has never been known to be a good run blocker, but Brent Celek, you've been known to be a good blocker. You got to do better. Point blank. Defensively, for the Eagles, first and foremost, you must stop the Jets' running game. If you can make them a one-dimensional team, put the ball in Ryan Fitzpatrick's hands, you'll have a better chance of winning. You got to stop Brandon Marshall. You have to bracket cover him if need be. One guy underneath, one over the top. Byron Maxwell, this your opportunity. Big wide receiver against big corner. You haven't played great the first 2 weeks, and it wasn't all your fault. People that don't understand football will place all the blame on you. But the Eagles gave you all this money. Big game. Time to pull a Bobby Taylor on Michael Irvin. You got to play well this week. They have to stop Brandon Marshall. Eric Decker most likely won't be playing. So that means they should be able to double Brandon Marshall, and the other players on the team should be able to take care of the other Jets players in the pass game by themselves. D'Amico Ryans cannot be on the field in obvious passing situations. D'Amico Ryans has had a great career. D'Amico Ryans is physically done for. Can't move no more. Can't run. Can't cover. He was making Jason Witten look like Jason Witten when he first came in the league. Jason Witten isn't as fast as he used to be. He lost two steps over the last 3-4 years. D'Amico Ryans cannot cover in the pass game. Cannot play in space. Jordan Hicks, Najee Good have to be out in the football field in those type situations. When it's an obvious run situation, D'Amico Ryans is fine playing in the box. But as long as Ryans is out there exclusively, teams are going to attack him in a pass game. The Eagles must get a consistent pass rush this week. They must get a consistent pass rush. They must get a consistent pass rush, not just from Fletcher Cox, but from Connor Barwin, Brandon Graham, Benny Logan, Vinny Curry, Brandon Bear. They must get a pass rush. And if they can't get it with the front four, Billy Davis, it's time to run some zone blitzes. It's time to run some stunts, some twists, bring some extra guys, because you cannot sit back and just let Ryan Fitzpatrick or any quarterback play 7-on-7. It's not a good look. You must confuse these quarterbacks. You must rush them. And if the Eagles are going to blitz, you must play press man behind it. The Denver Broncos, I watched their tape earlier this week. They brought six, one safety playing center field, four across the board playing press man coverage. I mean, Nolan Carroll, Byron Maxwell, they playing Malcolm Jenkins as the nickel. You have these guys, if you're going to blitz, you guys, everybody has to work in unison. All three levels of the defense. You can't just blame Byron Maxwell for, you know, getting beat by Julio Jones or, you know, getting beat last week versus the Cowboys by Terrence Williams. One, at that point in the game, he shouldn't have been playing off coverage. I don't know what the call was or if that was his choice. Byron Maxwell at all times should be in press man coverage unless it's a situation in which it's a 3rd and 20 and, you know what I mean, you can play soft coverage and you come up and you make the tackle. But my preference is guys of that mold play press man coverage. Byron Maxwell, Nolan Carroll should always be getting their hands on a receiver initially to reroute these guys to slow them down. This week against Brandon Marshall, it's going to be key. And you're going up against a guy that's a vet. That's Brandon Marshall is 6'4", 230 pounds. He's strong. He's a grown man. He makes catches in traffic. He's tough with the ball after he catches it. The Eagles have to stop him. Ryan Fitzpatrick, over his career, has proven to be turnover prone. He hasn't so far through two games. He's due for a Ryan Fitzpatrick type of game. The Eagles have to get to this guy. Make him scramble. Make him run. He'll fumble the ball. He'll throw it away. If you bracket Brandon Marshall, he may force it into him anyway. The name of the game for the Eagles, they have to win the turnover battle on Sunday if they plan on winning this game. In my opinion, the Jets won their first two games. On paper, the Jets look like the better team, but the better team doesn't always win. I'm going with the Eagles to go in the Meadowlands this weekend and get their first win of the season, give the Jets their first loss, and, you know, Eagles fans can relax a little bit. It's a must-win situation. This is when you tell the character of the men on your football team. This is what you tell, you find out what the character of your coaches, the leaders of this organization, are all about. I'm looking forward to watching the game. I'm picking the Eagles to win this game. I'm 0-2 and picking the Eagles to win this game thus far. Let's see if they prove me to be right this week. Let's go to the rest of the NFL games in Charlotte. 2-0 Falcons at the 2-0 Cowboys. No Tony Romo, no Dez Bryant. I like the Cowboys formula with them being a run first team. I like the Falcons a little bit more. I like for them to win a close game on the road at the Cowboys. 0-2 Colts have played badly. They're at the Titans this weekend. Titans 1-1 at home. I don't see the Colts going 0-3. I like the Colts to win this game on the road. 1-1 Raiders at 1-1 Browns. Josh McCown, for whatever reason, is back in the start lineup for the Browns. Josh McCown is who he is. Can't play. Career backup type guy. I think he's 20-30 as a starter in his career or something like that. I like the Raiders, and that improved defense. And Derek Carr, Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. I like the Raiders to win this game on the road. 2-0 Bengals at 0-2 Ravens. I can't see the Ravens going 0-3. Have the Bengals been the better team, obviously, through two games? Yes, they have. But this is a series in which I believe these teams split, each win their home games. I like the Ravens to get off the schneid and win their first game at home this weekend over the Bengals. Jaguars 1-1. Patriots 2-0. Patriots are at home. Jaguars upset the Dolphins last weekend. The Patriots win this game by double digits. 0-2 Saints. No Drew Brees. Luke McCown, the brother of Josh McCown. Both of these guys have made a living 10-plus years in this league, and I ain't even mad at them. Both of them have done a good job making money and taking care of their family. Luke McCown is going to be thrown into the mix at home versus the Panthers. The Panthers are 2-0. They go 3-0 this week. The Buccaneers, 1-1 at the Texans, 0-2. I like the Texans to get their first win at home versus the Bucs. J.J. Watt will have a 2-3 sack game this week. And hopefully he doesn't hurt Jameis Winston in the process, because their offensive line flat out sucks. It's a J.J. Watt party. He forces Jameis Winston into some positions in which he turns the football over. If I'm the Bucs, what I do is I have a lot of hot routes, a lot of short stuff going on, because they know their offensive line isn't that well. They're playing against a Texans team, you know, a multiple front type team. They like to blitz and do a lot of different things. No Austin Seferian Jenkins for the Bucs this week, who's been one of Winston's favorite targets. I think the Texans get their first win this week. Chargers 1-1 at the Vikings, 1-1. Vikings at home. Adrian Peterson at 192 yards of total offense. Fumbled the ball 2 or 3 times last week. I'm going to take the Vikings to win the game, and I expect a better performance out of Peterson and some more plays in the pass game from Teddy Bridgewater. Steelers 1-1 at the Rams, 1-1. The Rams beat Seattle week one. They came back, got blasted, beat up physically in the run game by Washington last week. The Steelers get Le'Veon Bell back. The Steelers' offense is among the best in the league. They got the best running back in the game, arguably, back. They feature Le'Veon Bell in the run game, along with Antonio Brown, Big Ben. That's probably, you can argue, that's the best group of triplets, quarterback, running back, wide receiver in football. I like the Steelers to win this game on the road. 49ers 1-1 at the Cardinals. Cardinals are, I wouldn't say under the radar, but last year, before Carson Palmer got hurt, you could argue that they were the best team in football. They back to that this year. Cardinals 2-0, 49ers. The Cardinals at home. I like the Cardinals to win this game. The Bills were smacked back down to reality, gave up over 500 yards of offense to the Patriots last week. They go on the road to face the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins coming off a loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two teams, divisional game. I'm going to take the team with the better defense, even though they're on the road. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills to win this game. Bears 0-2. They'll be 0-3 after this game. Seattle getting Cam Chancellor back. They're at home. I'll take Seattle to win this game. Broncos 2-0 heading to Detroit, which is 0-2. Matthew Stafford is banged up already, facing a brutal, not, I mean, not a brutal, but a punishing Broncos defense. The Broncos win this game. They go 3-0. And finally, Monday Night Football. Packers 2-0. In, excuse me, because I got a little cold. And Aaron Rodgers' last 18 games at Lambeau Field, 43 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Chiefs lost a game versus the Broncos that they should have won. But guess what? This is a game of matchups. And even though the Packers are at home, the Chiefs' defense is built to stop a team like the Packers. Justin Houston, Tom Bahale, D Ford, Don Terry Poe. The Packers' offensive line is okay, but their tackles I'm not big fans of. Justin Houston and Tom Bahale, the Chiefs' defense, they'll sack Aaron Rodgers 4 or 5 times. They'll pressure him, and the Chiefs' defensive backfield is among the best. They're young, they're athletic, they can cover man-to-man, they're very talented. The Chiefs upset the Packers at home and beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. Let's go to college football before I end the show. Not too many big games, but I picked out some games in the top 25. Number 8, LSU going to Syracuse, a game that they should win. This is give the quarterback, the young Brandon Harris, some more time to get some throws under his belt and improve. Georgia Tech, number 20, coming off the loss to Notre Dame. A big game inside the ACC versus Duke. Don't sleep on Duke, a very well-coached team. I like Georgia Tech to squeeze out a close win. Number 22, BYU is at Michigan. Michigan is favored for whatever reason in this game. But me being a Muslim, I don't go about the Vegas odds or whatever it may be. BYU wins this game on the road. Oklahoma State at Texas. Number 24, Oklahoma State. Texas showed some stuff offensively last week. They lost a game that a weak Cal defense, a botched extra point. I don't know how low it can get for Texas. It can only go up at this point. I preach patience when it comes to Charlie Strong. He's proven to be able to rebuild in places already. But I like Oklahoma State to win this game. Ohio State, their quarterback situation hasn't been well. Their offensive line hasn't played well. I don't know what's going on with them. They almost lost to Northern Illinois last week. Cardale Jones, like I told y'all last year, everybody got all hyped up from 3 games. Oh, he should go in the draft. He should be a top 10 pick. Oh, Cardale Jones, this, and that. Stop it. Please stop it. Cardale Jones has physical talents, but is very raw as a quarterback. Doesn't see the field well. Doesn't make throws with anticipation well. The exact reason why I told y'all last year that any general manager that would have drafted him in the first round should be fired. The same reason why I told Toot the Barber, who is a barber, and no shade to Toot, but my thing is, you're a barber, you cut hair. Cut hair and do what you do. I'm Bashir El Amin, the maestro of the playbook, and I do what I do. Cardale Jones shouldn't have went in the first round last year. He wouldn't have had a first round grade. He has not enough games under his belt. And coming back this year, his flaws have been exposed because he actually is getting playing time. In my opinion, Cardale Jones shouldn't even be the starting quarterback right now because the offense runs better when JT Barrett is at the helm. But Western Michigan, another scrimmage coming in. Let's see if Ohio State can get it together. Urban Meyer has to make a decision in my point, in my opinion. If Cardale Jones can't get the job done, it's time to play JT Barrett and make him the starter. Number 3, TCU at Texas Tech, in-state rivalry game. Texas Tech is 3-0. TCU is 3-0. I like TCU to win a close game. TCU's defense hasn't been what it was in prior years. They lost a lot of players from that group last year. I expect a shootout. This game should probably be in the high 30s, low 40s, but I like TCU to squeeze out a close one. If they lose this game to Texas Tech, you know, wow. But it's possible. Number 14, Texas A&M at Arkansas. Arkansas, Brett Bielema likes to talk big stuff. Texas A&M is coming in improved defensively. John Chavis, new defensive coordinator. They're taking care of the ball. They're throwing it around offensively. I like Texas A&M to win a close game versus Arkansas. Number 9, UCLA at number 16, Arizona. Big-time game in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is arguably, outside the SEC, the best conference in college football. UCLA has lost 4 key players on their defense this year. Eddie Vandergoes, Frank Morneau, Ishmael Adams, who has been reinstated. I'm not sure if he's going to play this week, but the best of the best, Miles Jack, junior linebacker slash running back, a linebacker that can play middle, can play the outside, can play in space, can do it all. Out for the season with a major injury. Scooby Wright may be back for Arizona. Arizona's at home. UCLA is ranked 9th. I picked UCLA to win the national championship this year. Before the injuries, I think they lose to Arizona this weekend in Arizona. Let's stay in the Pac-12. Number 18, Utah at number 13, Oregon. Oregon coming off the loss versus Michigan State. I like Oregon and Vernon Adams to squeeze out a close one. And finally, to end the show, USC got beat last week. Stanford, Kevin Hogan played the best game of his career last week versus USC. Rivalry game, you never know what's going to happen. Stanford, who looked pitiful the first 2 games, played their best game of the season last week versus USC. USC dropped down to number 19. They play Arizona State, Mike Bercovici. I expect it to be a good game. Like I said, the Pac-12 is the second best conference in the country, in my opinion, but I expect USC to squeeze out a close one. People, I want to thank everybody for listening. Mashallah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the ability to cover sports, to talk about sports, the right sports, that have played sports, the ability to be sitting right here in my, you know, home that has heat and hot water and food, and my kids are upstairs watching cable TV and have internet and healthy. I give all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything I have. I can never complain about the things that I don't have because I'm grateful for everything I have. I pray that everybody that sees this video sees it in great health and great peace and love. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I will get at y'all sometime next week. Obviously, you know, probably inshallah Monday, Tuesday, Eagles versus Jets post game report. 15, 20 minutes talking about the Eagles win or loss, whatever it may be. But everybody that supports me, Jazakallahu Khairan, and enjoy the rest of y'all weekend, inshallah.